Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Well, this is Dick Staub back with you, and our guest is Johnny Hart. He is the creator of BC and Wizard of Id. And interesting story. I told a bunch of guys at work he was going to go home and create a nationally syndicated cartoon strip, and then he just turned around and did it. That's a great story. You know, in 1987, you became a Christian. Now, as I understand it, you'd made a decision earlier in your life, but this was really a critical point in your life. What happened in 1987? I mean, why at that point in your life were you touched deeply with the gospel?
Well, it was it's God working again. When we moved out here in the country, it was actually earlier than 87, I think. I'm no good at remembering years, but we moved out here around 1977 or something, way out in the sticks, and we didn't have access to television or anything. We had to buy a satellite dish, and a friend of mine who was a carpenter, who came out here to help remodel some things out here, ran into a couple of guys who were selling satellite dishes. And they asked him if they could set up their dish and everything in a vacant lot next door to him that he owned. And he said, sure. So he came out and he was telling me about these guys. And he said, you ought to come in and see what they got. So Bobby and I, that's my wife, Bobby, and she and I went into town to see the satellite dish, and we were very impressed. So we asked him to come out and set us up. So these two guys came out, and what I didn't know was that it was a father and son team. They were born-again Christians.
Yep.
And they hadn't put up hardly any of these things. They didn't know what they were doing. Kind of learning on the job, so they were with us for like a month.
Yeah, it took a while.
Because we were having to string up wires through the woods and everything to find places, open places where the satellite dish could see the satellites in the sky, you know. And I had a studio here and a home, and I had several sets in each place. And they were, you know, putting all the electronics in, getting it all hooked up. And they were sleeping here at night at the studio in some cases. And Bobby was cooking for them, and we were feeding them. And, you know, we became very close. And every time I would walk through any room in the studio or the house, these guys would have the PTL club. You remember that?
Oh, sure. I sure do.
They would have that on. They used that as a test pattern.
Yeah.
You know? And I go through and I said, can't you guys get any other stations?
Yeah, you put in the whole satellite so you could get one channel.
And they said something, you know, like they could get the country music channel or something. I said, no, never mind. Just, yeah, you know, it's okay. And so it was starting to get to me, you know. I would, every time I walked through a room, pretty soon I began to see, like, Kenneth Copeland and things. I loved Ken Copeland because he was funny. You know?
Yeah,
He was kind of silly, and he had a marvelous approach. And pretty soon, you know, I was getting hooked on this stuff, and I was sneaking, you know, like when Bobby wasn't around, I would sneak in and turn the channel over to get the religious channels and listen to sermons, you know.
Oh, man.
Come back, and I'd switch over to something else, you know, and start whistling.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's how I sort of got into it. And I remember one morning I said to Bobby, I said, what do you think you would go over that little church over in town there? And she'd say, no, I don't want to go to church or something, you know. And so I prayed a lot. I started to exercise my faith, my newfound faith and prayer, and I prayed that Bobby would come around and, you know, that he would touch her the same way. One Sunday morning, she got up real early, and she said, would you like to go to church? And I said, yeah!
You know, I
up and out of bed, and we went over to this little country church, and we met most of our neighbors we'd been living around, you know,
for
several years.
I love the story because who would have thought, certainly that father-son rookie installation team that didn't know what they were doing, would be used in such a significant way in your life. And as a matter of fact, and the reason I like this story is that a lot of times we don't take very seriously the fact that God can use us where we are. And, you know, those guys might have thought, well, if I could just, you know, get a seminary degree and go off and do something important. But in fact, what happened is their influence and the influence of Christian broadcasters and then the influence of a local church and on and on and on, along with God's own working in your life, has ended up really touching millions of people through the way that you have decided to integrate your faith into your strip, as evidenced, for instance, by the one you did this Easter. How has your Christian faith been influencing your work recently, and how do people react to it when you do something like you did on Easter, where you very clearly talk about the gospel story?
Yes, it's been building over the last few years. Of course, I always did, whenever a holiday came up, so to speak, you know, I'd always play to the holiday.
Yeah.
I would do Mother's Day, I would do Mother's Day poems and things like that. And then I began to do the religious, you know, Christmas and Easter things and Good Friday and all that. Some of the newspapers, the L.A. Times, for example, didn't even print a Good Friday story.
Yeah, I know.
But that's another story. In any event, suddenly I began to get all this mail, and it was all good mail, you know, from Christians who were coming out of the woodwork and saying, way to go, you know, and they were cheering me on. It got to, then I began to realize, you know, this is really why God has me here. He wants me to interject these things into my work. He doesn't want me to do it all the time, I don't think, because, you know, if that's all you do, you wind up with nothing but a Christian audience. And Jesus didn't just preach to believers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? I'm to reach the people who don't, you know, who are not believers.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to comfort the believers. See, so I sort of do, in a sense, the same format that you do. You know, it's not strictly one way or the other.
Yeah, and you've gotten, there's lots of stories that we don't have time to get into of reactions within the religious community, within the non-religious community, the L.A. Times. But ultimately, you've gotten a lot of positive from your readers.
They are. They're terrific. Some of them were writing about the Palm Sunday poem that I did. I got three letters that the people were crying,
yeah,
you know, when they read it.
Yeah.
And the tears streaming down their faces. And I thought, wait a minute. And I got it out and read it again. I said, how can that be, you know?
He rode into town packing a colt.
Yeah, that's the one.
And the town folk cheered his way, and he strode up bold to the temple fold where a rowdy horde held sway. Yeah. I mean, it's good stuff. And it ends with, then much to their surprise, he shed his blood to cleanse their sin. People don't expect to open their comics and read such a powerful statement coming out of this little guy that they've become endeared to.
Yes.
But it's entirely appropriate. It grows out of the strip, really, because it grows out of your mind and heart, which is a mix of all the stuff we see in that strip.
That's right.
And
that's as much a part of me as all the other stuff I put there. So
why not?
Yeah.
I think it's a great example of how a person can sensitively integrate their faith into their work, looking for the appropriate moments. How do other cartoonists react to what you're doing with your expression of faith?
They sort of don't. You know, we're all just good buddies, and they don't mention it all that much. But I have had, I've gotten to where I was proselytizing with a couple of them, and they seem very, very interested, you know. But they're just kind of awestruck by it. And a couple of them said, I want to talk to you more about that.
Yeah.
Some other time.
Well, but that's
okay. Anytime.
You know, you're doing such great work, and it brings so much enjoyment to us every day to be able to turn to good old BC and see what in the world's going on in his world, and then to also see issues of faith and substance mixed in there. It is a real encouragement to me as a Christian. I know I speak for many others, and it's also planting a lot of seeds out there. I agree completely. Jesus was out in the marketplace, and so are you. And, boy, Johnny, thanks for taking some time today. I appreciate it.
Well, it was my pleasure, Dick. I had a good time.
Join us for our next podcast. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse. Thank you for listening to The Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's K-I-N-D-L-I-N-G-S. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.